everyone. We're Journey to the West. I'm V, and I'm here with Jay.
Hey, I'm Jay.
And I'm here with Sen.
Hey everyone, I'm Sen.
And today's topic will be on white freeze. So I would like to turn it over to Jay to elaborate on this topic because I think she has a lot of knowledge about it. Can you explain?
The inspiration for this pod was basically me ranting about the wedding that I attended last weekend. And I'll explain in detail what white freeze is, but basically it's a specific microaggression that you'll encounter in spaces that are majority white. They basically freeze you out socially and like will ignore you or not interact with you or just treat you differently and make it clear that you are not welcome there or that you are not like part of their group, basically. So they won't acknowledge you, but a white person will come up who they don't even know, and they'll treat them like they're friends, which is some bullshit. Anyway, I'm basically going to rant for the first part of this pod because I felt like I was denied the opportunity to do so because, one, I didn't want to fuck up the wedding. Like, this is my cousin, and I want him to be able to enjoy this moment and not think about it for now. And in addition to that, I was asked not to start shit by my family, and yeah, it was frustrating. It was a mess. It was very stressful. It was beautiful and fun, but it was also very racist. So the groom, my cousin, is second generation Filipino. He's older, like in his 30s. And his bride, who is also around the same age, is Irish. I think about a couple generations in. But she still has family in Ireland because they reference them at the reception. So I had already heard that her dad was racist from other family of mine. So I was already walking into this with a sense that, okay, there's going to be a lot of white people here. This is going to be racist. I should make mental notes of when shit happens. And I had previously attended the bridal shower, which was also mostly white. And I had interactions with some of her family that gave me the impression that they were kind of snooty and that it was because of race. For instance, certain women expected our side of the family to do tasks for them, like prepare decorations at the last minute. And they themselves would commit to a certain amount of work, but then backtrack saying that they were too busy and expected my side of the family to pick up their slack. And there was a pattern of this. It wasn't just like a one-time thing, like, oh, I'm busy taking care of my kids and I can't do this. No, it was like you committed to this and you didn't tell us until like a few days before or the night before or a week before when this shit should have been done like months in advance. So that was really irritating. And I could just tell from the way that they spoke about Filipinos in general in conversation with us that they were mentally viewing us as separate and as lesser than them. Fast forward to the wedding weekend. And we get to the hotel the day before. I brought Bay with me because, of course, he's my plus one and he's got his suit and he looks great. We get to the hotel, we check in, we start bringing up our stuff. And there's some other bags left in the car, so he offers to go back himself just to grab the last of it. And on his way there in the parking lot, like a few cars down, but close enough for him to overhear, he here's these two white basics talking about what sounds like the same wedding that we were attending. The first one says, "Do you think there'll be any hot guys here? And the second one points to my boyfriend and goes, like him. The first one goes, ew, no. And they both giggle. Just like casual racism right there. Right when we get to the hotel, like the first thing that happens when we get there. And then they end up driving off. Later, he pointed them out to me at the wedding ceremony, but we couldn't spot them after that. So, like, I have no idea who they are, what they look like. But that wasn't the only thing that happened at the hotel. So basically, they reserved a block of rooms at a bunch of different hotels. There was like 250 to 300 people attending this wedding. So we got a discounted rate. And it's definitely either our own family, the bride's family, or friends of family who's staying there. So we all know that they're connected to us in some way. There was this one guy down the hall from us who my boyfriend also overheard, who was speaking from inside his room to the cleaning lady. He had the door open, so he couldn't really see his face, just hear his voice. And he sounded like a middle-aged white guy. And he was saying, yeah, the groom is from the Philippines, so there's going to be a lot of flips there. And I know that there are a lot of Filipinos today who refer to themselves as flips, but I'm not sure that they know the history of that word. It's a slur specifically for Filipinos that American soldiers made up during the Philippine-American War when they basically murdered us while we were fighting for the right to govern ourselves. Like, the Philippines was basically a territory given to America in the spoils of war after they defeated Spain in the Spanish-American War. And we were promised autonomy, but obviously we weren't given that for a long time. So I can't imagine that this fucking guy at the hotel is using this in an innocuous way. In the way that, you know, someone would refer to Chinese people as chinks. That's what flip is for Filipinos. Which leads us to later that night, right before the wedding. They had this mixer for all of the guests who happened to be there to just mingle and meet each other and have dinner and drinks and whatever. And I noticed that we were basically being ignored. We being me and my boyfriend. The white people mostly just interacted with each other and wouldn't acknowledge us at all. And you might say, well, maybe that's because you don't know each other. That's natural. You won't talk to people that you don't know. Well, I noticed that they didn't have any problem chatting up random strangers at the restaurant who weren't even there for the wedding and, like, joking with them, all jolly and shit. And additionally, they had no problem with the Asian women who had white partners who were there, who they also didn't know. Just us. And I had the feeling that's because that white person who's attached to the Asian person is a fucking permission slip. Saying, it's okay, this one's with me, it's safe to talk to us. But basically, this is what the white freeze is. It's an atmosphere of microaggressions in which white people in these white majority spaces will socially ostracize you because you are not white. It's a social freeze out and it's intentional. I mean, they might not be aware that they're doing it, but it's a behavior that is meant to show you that you, as a person of color, must know your place. That you are not one of them, that you are not welcome, and to enforce this social norm among other white people, to signal to other white people that this is how it is, basically. Those are the implications of this behavior. It's like walking into a crowded room and feeling completely invisible. To the point that at one point I was trying to make my way to the bathroom through this crowd of drunk white dudes, and I had to elbow my way through after like saying very loudly, "Excuse me." Meanwhile, some white guy who's rolling some luggage through this crowd, it parts like the fucking white sea to accommodate him, and he doesn't even have to say anything. Like, they automatically will do this social courtesy for him, but not for me. And it was just really bad that night. Like, my boyfriend was so mad that he almost left me there at the hotel and was like, "I'll just come back in the morning for the wedding." It was very stressful. And thankfully, he did not do that and leave me there. But yeah, I feel like our relationship was tested because of this, and we came out stronger for it, which I'm thankful for. But yeah, that was really a fucked up time. And I wanted to talk about it because I can't be the only person who notices this kind of behavior in majority white spaces. So I want to open it up to the rest of you and ask you if you have your own experiences with the white freeze.
I won't get too much into detail, but I'll describe it as is. I mentioned before I ran for student government. I wanted to run, and I ran with a party. I ran with a party. It was a majority white party. Yup. Gonna confess it right here, not my proudest moment. Had a few other token minorities, one Central American, one African American, but it was just us three who were minorities. It was all fun and games, we all took pictures, and we were just running for student government, trying to be running with merit. But there were those moments where when we had meetings, the other white people who were in our party would just go talk amongst themselves while they would leave me and the other two guys who were running with me alone. We would talk amongst each other and I'd be like, "Dude, don't you notice it's kind of weird that they're kind of like exclusionary?" And he's like, "Oh, you know, every party has cliques." He kind of tried to downplay it. And I was just like, okay, am I just seeing things right here? And yeah, fast forward, I mean, a majority of our party won when we ran for student government. And this was in college, by the way, guys. And we all still kept in touch, but like, I would not contribute as much. I would just like stay silent because I was like, I didn't feel comfortable in that environment. And by the time it came to the beginning of the school year, I already dropped out. But I noticed that when I dropped out, the next person who replaced me was a Hapa woman, but she was white passing. Everyone was so much nicer to her than they were to me. You know, they would comment on her page even while I was running for student government, and they'd do like thumbs up. And I'm like, I know y'all secretly wanted her in the party. And even she made this Hapa woman made this passive aggressive comment to me about like, "Oh, I was the only one who, I wasn't chosen because like I had 21 units at university. So if I didn't have that, the party would have probably picked me instead of you." Like, that's what her body language was implying. And I'm like, wow, girl. And now she's like this type of girl who's totally into her Chinese heritage. And I'm like thinking to myself, you white passing person, Hapa, you're the only one who, you don't get to play white privilege and at the same time claim your Asian heritage. Like, not cool right there. Anyways, she still tries to kiss up to me and try to be friends with me, but I'm like, no, I don't want to be around you. Point being, why I wanted to explain this incident. One, because it exemplifies white freeze, but not only that, but if any of you out there choose to be involved with like entertainment, business, student government related stuff, you're going to eventually run into situations like this. Anything outside of academia or STEM, if you're Asian American, you tend to run into incidents like these a lot. Even now, as I'm trying to make my way into just like making my own skincare channel, skincare blog someday. I run into these people a lot too, even in Asian beauty circles. So it gets very tiring, honestly. It's everywhere for me. So yeah, that's my spiel. Anything you got, Sun?
Well, I can only really think of a few incidents because I don't really hang around a lot, like groups of white people in my free time or in social settings, because I usually mostly have Asian friends. And I do have white friends, but they're usually white people who come into our Asian circle, and it's not the other way around. So I don't have this tendency to try and accommodate white people because I just don't even interact with them in that way. But usually when I'm, like we all are, when we're kind of forced to be in social situations where there's like a group of white people, I usually just hold my breath and just go, let's see how this goes. So I was like in this like gender studies class, and this was like the first few lessons in this tutorial. We were all kind of like introducing ourselves and like talking about intersectionality, and like we had to go on this whole thing where we had to be like, I'm cis, straight, blah, 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 like kind of reveal all your intersectional parts of you, which I feel is kind of weird because why would you like dispel to a bunch of strangers your sexuality, for example? Like, I just find that kind of like weird. I don't know. But it was supposed to be some kind of like inclusive, diverse environment where everyone's like happy and stuff. But anyway, and as you know, like with these humanities classes, they're usually dominated by white women. But anyway, so I was like talking about myself. I was like probably one of the few Asian people there. So I talked about briefly about like emasculation of like Asian men and like hypersexualization of Asian women specifically, because I felt like those subjects were not very well known. So I did briefly touch on it. I didn't go on like a whole history like spiel, but I just wanted people to be aware about it. And there was this other Asian guy in the class, and it was interesting how he framed himself, because he framed himself in like a very like, I'm egalitarian and I'm open to all sexual orientation and blah, blah, blah. And he wasn't very responsive. Like, he didn't really talk about his Asianness very much. So I found that very interesting. And he wasn't one of those like dudes who were losers and was trying to get with like women, because he was like a pretty good looking dude, like fairly good looking. So I was kind of like questioning where he internalized all this like white feminism from, because that's kind of what I got from him. But I don't know, I just found it very interesting that like when I was talking, it felt very stilted and people were kind of like, they were trying to listen, but they didn't really understand what I was saying. I don't even know if it's truly like the same white, like explicitly white phrase, but it did feel kind of like, or maybe I shouldn't be talking about my Asianness. It did feel like that at times throughout that whole, you know, semester. I was kind of feeling like I didn't belong here, and it's interesting because this was gender studies. So I think the only time I felt like genuinely interested was maybe when they were talking about Indigenous feminism, because I felt like I could relate to a lot of parts of it, even though it wasn't about me. But yeah, it was kind of strange. And I think that, talking about the Asian guy again, like Asian people have this tendency, and I kind of have to say this again, like we know what white freeze is, because anyone that's trying to pretend like they don't know what white freeze is like fucking lying, because you always know when you enter a white space and you feel like you don't belong and you aren't socially mingling with people the same way, and you like when white freeze happens, you're in your own corner and you're just looking around and you're just seeing that no one's talking to you, no one's approaching you. When you try to approach people, it just doesn't work because they just feel very closed off. So what I feel like what a lot of Asians do is like they start putting on a mask and start being like a minstrel, or like being the jester and being like the butt of the joke, or they latch on to like their white partner if they have one, and then they just kind of cruise along that way. And I really hate that a lot,
Because again, like I've said, I'm not used to that. What else should I really touch on? Is my question with accommodating white people.
I guess we can go a little bit deeper into just, you know, the response to the white freeze instead of being like, well, fuck you, is to try to assimilate. Because there are Asians who respond to that by assimilating and how fucked up that is. Which you kind of already touched on, but it's just really annoying to see other Asians who literally are motivated by this problem, but will gaslight you and tell you that it doesn't exist, or like try to excuse away shit when it happens.
You know, when you see that other Asian person in the room and they just fucking ignore you and you're just
like, yeah, yeah,
fuck you, you're part of the system now.
Or like even actively avoid you. Yeah.
Colonized bitch.
Because like there can't be more than two Asians here because they want to be the fucking token.
And I think I've mentioned before, like I do have white friends going back like a long time ago. And I think I have like a vision of how white people are supposed to interact with us, especially if we're like the majority, is they just come in and then maybe they're confused about a few things. Like maybe you say something in your own language they don't understand, or they don't know what food you're eating. But it should never be like this whole event where you take the red carpet out and you go, oh, and you need to cook something separate for them because they might not be able to eat it. Or it shouldn't be thing where, and again, Asians do this thing where we go, oh my god, a white person, and we emphasize their whiteness like they're the fucking, I don't know, they're that ambassador of whiteness. And they bestowed themselves onto our lowly fucking place. Like, it's
like God's gift to Asians, no.
Like, that's what I've seen quite a bit, and I'm just, like, looking at the people around me, I'm just like, what the fuck's wrong with you? They're just a person who's white, okay? Just fucking calm down. So yeah, like it shouldn't be this whole event,
because
I feel like it's made into a spectacle. Like people go, oh my god, a white person. Oh my god, you're white. You're using chopsticks. Oh my god, you're white and you're doing this. And it's like, fucking calm down. It should never be like that. I think you guys know what I'm talking about, but.
Yeah. Because it makes it clear that there's a power imbalance there.
Yeah.
Which there shouldn't be.
So again, like you just treat them like normal people. You shouldn't put them on a weird pedestal. You just, like, they might not eat your food. Like, you just go, oh, just try it. If you don't like it, it's whatever. You don't even be like, oh, I knew you were, and I knew you couldn't eat this. Like, again, like, what the fuck is wrong with, like, some Asian people? Like, I've seen it before, and I'm just like, ugh. I feel like we should do a pod about people with internalized racism, because I have so many fucking stories on it. It's, like, pretty crazy.
Oh, definitely.
And they're like the textbook crazy example.
Yeah, I think V might be working on an article related to that, so we can time it.
We'll prelude to, just letting you know, we will have a pod coming up on addressing internalized racism. But just to give a brief point about this, we've seen Asian Americans are primarily the dominant group that tends to pander to white people. I know at one point I was guilty of it too. I will confess that. By joining my student government party, by even going to my university, which was majority white dominated. A lot of people like to make excuses. Like, for example, I could have just simply made the excuse saying it was either this or I go to community college and hang out with the wrong crowd. But you never really escape white supremacy if you're in the West. So why not be yourself? Stop pandering to white people. A lot of Asian Americans do it. It's kind of annoying, especially when I see it in Instagram. Y'all ladies, I'm looking at you. But the thing is, the reason why a majority of us tend to pander to white people is because somehow we think we will benefit from it. Whether it be social status, money, or anything like that. And I'm not saying, like, it's their fault completely, but still, if we still enable the problem by actually participating in it.
a lot of people think, oh, we should look at them as victims of society's racism. But I'm like, how can you be a victim of society's racism and choose to still enable it anyways? That shit doesn't fly. I mean, I did it, but now I'm turning it. Now I turned my back on it. I made that mistake and I'm not going to make it again.
Yeah, that's complicity, man, at that point. I guess in summary, we don't need to accommodate white people. If anything, they should be accommodating us, considering all of the shit that they've done that has ruined the globe and our home countries, which has led to us being here and subjected to more racism from them. So bear that in mind. Don't treat white people like they're fucking gods. And don't put up with the white freeze. You can leave. Don't feel obligated to fucking stay there. We left when that happened.
Well, I would add to the whole victimization. Like, if you see Asians, like, being that person in the room that glares at you from the distance, like, or ignoring you just like the white people, I'm not gonna fucking feel sorry for you. You're feeling sorry for me for not joining you. Like, I don't give a shit. Because, and I think we should have that mentality, because it's not, like, it shouldn't be about us trying to assimilate and trying to act white and trying to be, like, the butt of the joke. Because, like, there's plenty of Asians that do that. And then they take it a step further by making it all racist, too. Like, they go, oh, look at me. I have chinky eyes. It's like, I don't know. That sounds ridiculous. I'm sure someone said that. Let's not kid ourselves here.
Oh, it's happened, yeah. I'm sure.
Or they go, oh, my God, I eat dogs. Ha, 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 ha. Like, you know, like, there's those people. I don't really feel sorry for them, because they're just making the problem worse and they're tokenizing themselves and making us look like the bad Asians because we're not, you know, assimilating properly. So again, it is internalized racism, and as you could say, everyone's a victim of it, but it doesn't discount the damage people do.
Yeah. Still gotta take responsibility for that shit.
Okay. Thank you for discussing this topic, both of you. That's pretty much it. And I'm V, and you can follow the GTTW podcast Twitter page. And Jay?
Thanks for letting us rant. Hope that you guys can relate, or hope not, and not accommodate white people, damn it. You can find me on Twitter at J_MARAAN.
And Sun?
I'm Sarah. You can find me on Twitter. Actually, I'm on a break, kind of, but SEN_TIENT. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.
Okay. That's it for all of us, so thanks for watching. Bye.